Hello and welcome back to the RHS Gardening Podcast. Every fortnight we bring you a mixture of features and discussions exploring every aspect of gardening, growing your own fruit and vegetables, plant care, pest control, garden design and container ideas, plus expert seasonal advice on what you should be doing in your garden right now. I'm Sian Thomas, Garden Visits Editor of the RHS Monthly Magazine for Members, The Garden. Coming up in this edition, inspiring allotment ideas taken from the RHS Flower Show Tatton Park 2014, which is running from 23rd to the 27th of July. Interviews with the winner of the RHS Young Designer of the Year 2014 competition and designer Paul Harvey Brooks, who's been mentoring this year's finalists. Our pick of top performing seasonal plants and, as always, the latest news on RHS summer events across the UK. But first, let's find out what jobs gardeners can be tackling this month.
My name is Matthew Biggs, and here's a couple of tips for you, things that you should be doing in your garden. One is to keep mowing the lawn regularly. The grass is growing very quickly at the moment, particularly with these sudden periods of rain. So keep mowing. Mowing it regularly, a little and often, will make sure that you have a good quality lawn. The other thing is to keep on top of the weeds. Again, the rain showers are bringing on lots of weeds. They're germinating in the border as well. Get on top of them. And something else that you can do as well is to, during the rainy periods or just before, is to actually feed the lawn. Most people just feed the lawn in the spring, give it a spring feed, but during times of unsettled weather, excellent time to use the fact that it's going to rain and to feed the lawn and give it a boost. There's a lot of bindweed in gardens, I've noticed at the moment, and growing there through the hedges, looking very attractive, I have to say, with those gorgeous white flowers. Often feel that if I was in the tropics, I might have a different feeling towards it. But if you actually want to get rid of it from your garden, spraying it while it's in flower is a good thing to do, because it's expending a lot of energy doing that. So you would apply a glyphosate-based herbicide, making sure that it doesn't get onto any other plants, because it's likely to damage them as well. The other thing is that, of course, if it's grown into hedges, for example, you would have to carefully untwine it. And the other thing, you could apply it as a gel, or you can just rip it out from the garden, so to take away all the foliage, the stems and the leaves, which are obviously creating the energy for it to grow, knock it back, and then when the new growth keeps coming, then you just keep on taking it away, either by hoeing or breaking it off with your hand, and little by little, and eventually you will weaken it sufficiently for it to go.
My name's Brian Jacobs. I'm from Conview Nursery, which is in Devon. Well, really, at this time of year, it's very hot. You've got to really keep an eye on your plants to see if they're watered properly. Deadheading, a constant job really, and also look for signs of stress in your plants, if you've got yellowing of the leaves, that type of thing. Check the soil around the plant. It may be too wet, maybe too dry. It may not help you then at that time, but you'll get to know your garden, your different areas in your garden, what gets wet, what gets dry, and if you've got particularly, say, dry areas, the next time you're replanting, you can always dig in lots of organic matter, you know, compost, to help the next time you do plant there. Also, at this time of year, if you're an avid seed collector, now's the time to keep an eye on your plants. A lot of the earlier flowering plants will be dropping their seed now, so you want to really get them before they drop. And also, there's going to be things you don't want seeding around, so you'll want to nip those heads off before they drop their seed. So that's the main things at this time. You can't propagate, you can't split your plants up. So really, that's all you can really do at this time.
You can find more tips and advice and video guides to seasonal tasks in the garden on the gardening pages of the RHS website. That's rhs.org.uk/advice. I'm Sian Thomas, and you're listening to the RHS Gardening Podcast. From the 23rd to the 27th of July, the RHS Flower Show Tatton Park makes its annual appearance. Held in a stunning 1,000-acre deer park in the heart of Cheshire, the show boasts innovative and inspiring gardens, award-winning nurseries, fascinating crafts and delicious foods. We met up with show manager Chris Hulovich to find out some of the show highlights this year.
I'm Chris Hulovich, the show manager here at Tatton Park. Basically, the show comprises of four zones. And within the zones itself, you'll find a whole diverse verification of gardening fun and entertainment, learning how to garden, but to enjoy it. That's the most important thing. And the show basically is really for the local community. So it's for young people. We have the Young Designers competition where we have three finalists here, and they're selected from applications from around the UK. We have what we call the themed gardens, which are the element gardens this year. So fire, wind, water, soil. They're great fun. They're quite conceptual, the designs on those gardens. We, of course, have other show gardens in general. We have small and large ones, but they really are quite diverse, in, from traditional to conceptual, to having water and elements like that. We have the floral marquee. That's around 85 nurseries selling different species of genus. So absolutely fascinating. Splendid colour, of course. We are in the third week in July, so it's really wonderful colour. And they're complemented by the Plant Village, which is a sort of a mini nursery area, but they all have like a little mini garden at the front. So they show you how to grow plants in little environments and in terms like that. One of the greatest things we've introduced since last year are the allotment and community gardens, and this is where we are involving the community, the allotment holders, both young and old. And just to show how they can work together, and we're using gardening really as the sort of catalyst to help people across all the sort of social network how to enjoy it. We have the National Flowerbed Competition, and we have entries from Dumfries, and we even have the Channel Islands here in the form of Jersey, and they're really colourful, great fun, and wonderful to look at. 22 school gardens this year, which is quite fantastic, and that's all obviously the RHS and its schools campaign, and the fact that gardening is now part of the national curriculum. Oh, by the way, the weather forecast is excellent for the whole week. I must say that very quickly. But really, there is so much to see. You see, there are talks and demonstrations, grow your own. It's very difficult to say go for this and that, but do go and see the Young Designers three finalists. They're excellent gardens, they're quite wonderful, and do see the element gardens, they're quite fascinating. As you catch up in the zones going around the floral marquee, the school children's gardens are in front of them, so do that, do the National Allotment Societies and the flowerbed competition. So try and get that under your wing, and then slowly explore around the show. Make sure you go to the Cookery Theatre, where you'll hear some wonderful demonstrations on how to grow your own vegetables, cook them and eat them together. So what I say is start with the floral marquee, do the plant village, school children, national bed and the young designers. And then you'll pass all the other stands on the way. But it will take you all day.
Now you can also find out all you want to know about RHS Flower Show Tatton Park direct from your phone with the free RHS Flower Show Tatton Park smartphone app, including finding out which gardens, plant nurseries or trade stands are close by wherever you are in the showground. You can also find full details on the gardens, plants and trade stands whether you're at the show or not. Buy tickets for any RHS show and lots more. Visit rhs.org.uk/tattonapp. In the Great British Allotment section of the showground, there are allotment plots from both community and commercial growers. Each plot focuses on a different area of expertise, making it an ideal place to pick up tips about growing your own fruit and veg, whether you have one container, a couple of raised veg beds, or a suite of allotments. Growing your own fruit and vegetables is increasingly popular in the UK, and parts of the country have long waiting lists for allotments. A common question RHS garden advisors are asked is, once you have an allotment, how can you best manage it? We asked some of the experts at RHS Flower Show Tatton Park for their advice.
Hi, I'm Ian Marfleet. I'm the allotment manager with Hindman Borough Council. Well, in terms of allotments, the first point of call is to call your local authority and just to find out whether they have any vacant allotments. In Hindburn, we do have a lot of vacant allotments, but they're perhaps not regarded as on the priority allotment sites. We have waiting lists that range from no waiting list to six-year long waiting lists. And I think it's important that people are prepared to maybe do a lot of hard work. I think we've got a celebrity chef culture. people see celebrity chefs walking out of the back door, picking a lettuce leaf, and that's what they want. Unfortunately, it's not like that in reality. One of the things Hymen Borough Council did several years ago was a bit of a consultation with the allotment tenants, and one of the key questions we actually asked was, do you actually think it's helped you be more healthy and actually live longer? And we found a significant number of people responding to us felt that it actually had added to their to how long they were living, and also benefiting their lifestyle considerably. And with the current consumption of fast foods, etc., anything that the council can do to encourage people to grow, even if it's not in the allotment, even if it's in the back terrace streets, if it's in the backyards, any form of growing benefits the health and lifestyle of the individual concerned. I took on a new allotment 2 weeks ago. The weeds were taller than myself, about 7 foot tall, 500 square metres of weedy hell. First thing I started was to get rid of all the weeds, basically trim them down. And the next task will be to start to prepare some of the area in order for cultivation. And not wanting to break my back, I'll select certain areas that I want to start on, the area which has the best ground. The best course of action really to take in that type of scenario is to remove the weeds, kill them off. There's a couple of techniques that you can use for that. Probably the most environmentally friendly is to put black weed suppressant matting down, leave it for 3 to 4 weeks before the weeds have all died off, and then start to dig over. And once you've started to cultivate your ground, you can then start growing what you want to grow. But the thing is not to rush at it, do it in a slow, progressive manner, treat it as a 3 to 5 year project, plan and make slow but progressive improvements. The variety of vegetables and fruit that you can grow is quite extensive. I mean, I think we've demonstrated on the showground here that there is a massive variety of different vegetables from right across the world that you can actually grow. All of these can be grown on an allotment plot or in a greenhouse. And again, you don't have to grow them on the allotment plot. You can grow them on the windowsill at your house very, very easily. Take it easy, realise what you're capable of, and enjoy yourself.
My name's Sarah Hopkinson. I'm the course manager for the Foundation Degree in Garden Landscape Design, and our second year students have designed and built a show garden for Withenshaw Community Housing Group called A Taste of Withenshaw, where we're showcasing really innovative edible growing. It's based on the crescent shaped layout which comes from the original Withenshaw estate, which itself was based on a garden city layout. So what we've tried to do is represent the garden city ethos through the design of the garden. So we've got the idea of the three magnets, basically. So there's the best of the countryside, which is represented by a forest garden, an edible meadow. The best of the town, which is represented by our rebar trees, a hydroponic table, and tram lines that connect Withenshaw back into the Manchester city centre. And then both of those two together create the best for the people, and we're representing that throughout the garden, but particularly through more traditional allotment growing with our vegetables and chicken coop as well. All of that is done in an innovative way. So what we're trying to do is showcase how you can grow vegetables very innovatively. Everything on the garden's edible or attracts pollinators. And so we're combining innovation with sculptural forms as well. So we've got a combination of artistic as well as practical. I think even though it's very ambitious, what we've done is very ambitious, and we've used lots of big elements, really, if you like. Actually, what it's showcasing is that you don't need a very big amount of space to be growing quite a wide range of vegetables. So particularly if you look in the more traditional allotment area around the chicken coop, we've got quite a wide range of vegetables grown there, and the space isn't actually that big. Also, it's sort of trying to encourage people to think about how they can make the best use of their space. So the living walls are really, you know, a sophisticated way of doing some vertical gardening. The rebar trees are a more ambitious way of thinking about that in a different sense, and thinking about how you can grow beans in a different way. So I think if people come to the show and have a look at in detail at the garden, then they'll see that actually they can take elements of that back to their own gardens and grow their own vegetables themselves. Start with a small patch, so start with something manageable. Don't try and be too ambitious, because if you try and be too ambitious, then there's lots of preparation involved, and if the results aren't quite as you expect them to be, it can be a little bit disheartening. So start small and then you can build up from there. Also, maybe think about growing salad crops initially, because those you can repeat so succession or so, and you get quick results as well. And you know, as we've got in our living wall, you've got the cut and come again salad leaf, so you've got a repeated access to food, if you like. So that's a really good thing, you know, simple to do, not difficult to get lettuce seeds going. So that's really a good place to start, and then really just building from there. You know, just herbs on a kitchen windowsill or just by the back door is a fantastic way to start. So I think, yeah, if people start small and then they can learn what they like, they can learn what they enjoy doing, and then they can develop from there.
You can find more information and advice on all aspects of growing your own fruit and vegetables on our website, rhs.org.uk/gyo. You can also visit iTunes to download the free Grow Your Own app designed to help you choose and grow fruit and veg however much space or time you have, rhs.org.uk/iPhone. Another highlight of the show is the Young Designer of the Year competition, which is unique to RHS Flower Show Tatton Park. This is a showcase for innovative gardens from some of the future stars of garden design. This year's theme for the designs by finalists Claire Broadbent, Sam Ovens and Alex Schofield is Avant Gardening. Here's designer Paul Harvey Brooks, who's been working with the three finalists, to tell us more.
My name's Paul Harvey Brooks. This year I've been mentoring the Young Designer of the Year finalists, and the year of mentoring them culminates in them coming to RHS Tatton Park and creating their gardens. The Young Designer of the Year competition is really interesting and it's unique. The Royal Horticultural Society set it up with the sole purpose of finding new talent to come into the industry, and a year ago they would have made a call for anyone up to the age of 28 to submit a design. The society pays for the garden, and through the selection panel process, which happens for all gardens going into shows, we whittle down to three. Before those final three, there are five who are interviewed just to see why they're passionate about horticulture, what it is about garden design or plants that they're particularly keen on. And then once we have the three finalists who are going to create their gardens, we spend a year taking them to different nurseries, getting them to think about different things spatially, and looking at other show gardens that have been made to prepare them, because for all three this year, this is the first time they've ever made a show garden. So it's a really involved, in-depth, well-rounded programme, which I hope they benefit from. And obviously we'll also have three people coming into the industry, but one who will be crowned as Young Designer of the Year. Personally, what I'm looking for is somebody who has a real passion to do it, has creative flair, loves plants, because for me plants are what makes gardens, really, and also has the beginnings of an understanding of what it is to construct gardens, you know, kind of using hard landscaping materials. I'm not expecting them to be absolutely perfect right now. What I'm looking at is somebody who's eager to learn, you know, they're hungry to make a career out of this, and in 5-6 years' time they'll be really at the top of their game. The three finalists are actually quite unique. Alex came from Switzerland, Claire and Sam are both UK-based, but Claire interestingly studied landscape architecture, as did Sam, and the three of them have approached their kind of themes very uniquely. Sam is brilliant with very subtle restrained planting that kind of looks like it's been just touched by nature. That's a gift to be able to do that. Claire's is technically incredible. She's made these Archimedes screws. She was very quiet, she was very focused on how she was going to do it, and the end result's impressive. And then Alex came at it from a totally different point of view, and he's really used the idea of light and using coloured screens to make spaces feel different, and I've never seen it used in that way. So I think all of them have their own unique skills, and each garden really represents that.
Hi, I'm Claire. I'm one of the Young Designers at this year's Tatton Flower Show. So my garden is called Workout, and that's because it incorporates exercise into the garden setting. It does this because there's different features, such as the pergola pull-up bars. So obviously it's a pergola which allows plants to climb up, as well as being an exercise equipment so you can do your pull-ups. And there's other features as well, like pommel horse benches, the different kind of exercises. The competition is important for my career in horticulture, as it's just basically given me a lot of experience, and I now know a bit more about what I'd like to go into, I'd say.
Hi, so I'm Alex Schofield. I just finished my garden design course back in January, and I'm here to try and make a name for myself in an attempt to get to Chelsea in a couple of years' time. Because last year I moved to London to study garden design, I had experienced English weather for the first time in 10 years after leaving to go to Switzerland, and I found it quite dull. So this is a garden designed to celebrate light in all of its forms. So using light capturing grasses, contrasting dark colours with the light ones just to intensify it, and also using Perspex panels, I have managed to bring light into the garden. So I entered the competition mainly to get a first entry into my portfolio, as I'd just got out of school, so to have a complete garden designed and looking incredible in such a short amount of time was very important to me. The actual experience of it has been hard, especially administratively at the beginning, but now that we're here, it's just a load of fun, really. You have to crack on to get things done, but we managed it in time and it was really fun.
This year's winner of the Young Designer of the Year is Sam Ovens.
The garden's about combining wildlife with a contemporary garden in a small space. So I was looking at ways of doing that, and I decided to take people and visitors to the garden up off the ground, hence the name The Sky's the Limit. So there's two decks which are raised up, allowing the garden to be 100% planted with wildlife-friendly plants, such as Agastache blackadder, crab apples, verbena, achillea. And yeah, so that's what it was about, creating the space for the wildlife beneath, having maximum planting in a really small space, and doing it with a contemporary twist. I didn't want to create a sort of traditional wildlife-friendly garden, which I think can sometimes be a bit twee with bug hotels, so I wanted to show that there's another way of doing things. Paul Harvey Brooks has been sort of mentoring me throughout. It's been really useful because, having not done a show garden on my own before, he's been there to answer any questions I had, help with planting and budget, and just, yeah, I've always been able to call him to just any doubts, and he's been there to give me a hand and tell me how to do things. So yeah, it's been great. It's come together exactly how I had hoped, which I was really pleasantly surprised by, really. When you're designing from sort of sketch up and things, you never quite know how it's going to turn out. So to be here and to have built it, it's great to see a design of mine sort of taken through to completion. So yeah, great.
There's still time to get tickets for the RHS Flower Show Tatton Park, which runs until Sunday the 27th of July. Visit rhs.org.uk/Tatton. Summer, of course, is a bumper time for activities in our four RHS gardens. Here's some of the attractions and events coming up. Take part in the Great Garden Quest at all four RHS gardens from 24th of July to 31st of August. There'll be loads of different activities within each garden during the school holidays, so bring along the family for a great day out. Come to the Hyde Hall Flower Show 31st of July to 3rd of August and see a whole host of specialist nurseries and trade stands, gardening sundries, talks and expert advice. If you're an RHS member, why not treat yourself to an exclusive flower show breakfast? And as always, full details of all these events and more are on the RHS website. Go to rhs.org.uk/gardens and click on What's On. That's almost all for this edition of the RHS Gardening Podcast, but there's just time to hear our Plants of the Month. Each month, Phil Clayton from the RHS magazine for members, The Garden, brings you his pick of the AGM plant lists. The AGM is the RHS Award of Garden Merit. Plants that display this award have been assessed in a number of categories by our experts and are recommended by the RHS as being the best for all-round performance. The AGM is an invaluable tool for gardeners trying to select the best plant from the hundreds that are available in garden centres and nurseries. Here are Phil's suggestions for this month.
My first choice is a fabulous foliage plant called Melianthus major. It originally comes from South Africa, and over there it's a large spreading bush up to about 3 metres, that's 10 feet high, and about the same across. But in the UK, in most areas, it will behave as a herbaceous plant because it's rather tender, and so it can even be cut down to the ground by the frost to re-emerge again in the spring. What's remarkable about it are its leaves, these huge pinnate leaves of blue-grey, the strongest colour in when it's grown in full sun, composed of toothed leaflets. Really majestic looking thing. If you get a mild winter, it sometimes flowers on old stems when they're sort of 2 or 3 years old. These sort of rather odd reddish brown flower spikes appear from the end, but really it's the leaves that you're growing it for, and they probably look better if the stems are cut back, because you tend to get bigger leaves when that happens. It needs somewhere in full sun. It wants somewhere which is not waterlogged, fairly well drained, fairly fertile. An annual mulch will help protect it from the frost and also encourage it to produce these huge leaves. And it looks really good in the border with other plants. That's its real asset, is when you mix it with other plants. So try it with a large purple leaf canna. It looks magnificent with those. Or in a cool border with perhaps white cosmos, and other silver leaf plants, it really, really stands out. And my second plant is a tender fuchsia, Fuchsia thalia. It's a well-known fuchsia, this, but it is deservedly popular. It has quite large, oval, bronzy-coloured leaves, which are held on these red stems. And then from sort of early summer, you get these heads of lips, well, sort of lipstick orangey red flowers. But the flowers are not a typical fuchsia flower. They've got very long tubes, so they're sort of very elegant. And because they're held in a cluster, they're sort of on a nod, the heads are sort of nodding. It flowers for an awfully long time. Once the first blooms appear in June or July, it will carry on well into sort of October, even November, if the frosts allow. You can use it just as bedding and leave it out and buy again in the spring, or if you want, you can lift it, cut it back, and it will re-sprout and grow again the following spring if you keep it somewhere that's frost-free. It's good for pots, it's good for borders. Really, it's a versatile thing. It mixes very well with other plants. Perhaps try it with silvery Dichondra, Argentia, silver falls, or perhaps some begonias, or perhaps even some larger things like cannas or dahlias. Mixes really well with all of them. It'll get to about 3 feet, so almost a metre high if you let it, or you can keep it pinched out and it'll form a bushier plant. It's really up to you.
Phil Clayton from the RHS members' monthly magazine, The Garden. You can find details of all the plants on the AGM lists on the RHS website, rhs.org.uk/AGMplants. So that's all for this edition. We'll be back in a fortnight. Until then, remember to follow us on Twitter @the_RHS and like us on Facebook. For now, from me, Sian Thomas, and all the RHS Gardening Podcast team, goodbye.